Go ahead, go for it.
I'd like to call to order the September 3rd meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Everyone is here tonight. So did you guys have an opportunity of reviewing this evening's agenda? Mm-hmm. I would like to add one item, if you allow, a very quick update on the oceanfront easement initiative that we had discussed a few months ago. And
go ahead, make it a motion to
allow. Yeah, so I just need a motion to allow that to be added.
So move.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, and then as far as the minutes from prior meeting, everybody good?
Make a motion. We accept the minutes as reviewed.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you. All right. Yes, sir.
After you amended the agenda, I lost attention for a second there. Did you all adopt the agenda as amended?
Actually, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
You need to make a motion to adopt your agenda.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda as amended.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Public comments? All righty. And then the new agenda item would be added to old business, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So,
5.1.
Sorry?
It's 5.1 for the record.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I'll let Bethany chime in, but we had discussed this a few months ago, and at that point, the recommendation from Planning and Zoning had been to basically just eliminate the one little subtle opportunity to be able to do something within the easement, given that it really didn't apply any longer, and we really wouldn't have had any properties that actually could have complied with the way it was described. That would have put council in a position of being able to have to deal with any exception request without really there being any guidance. So there was some level of discomfort there. And so Bethany then researched further. When we had some meetings with some outside folks, Bethany, do you remember the names of the organizations that we had included on the call? It was the Yep. And then also there was another gentleman that had to do with that. He's from New Hanover County that deals with the environmental stuff. So we sought outside input.
He's previous CAMA, but yeah. He now works for the county. So he's knowledgeable on both fronts.
So we sought outside input to include input as far as we also learned from Carolina Beach standpoint what they do, and there is a tolerance for allowing certain things to be done within the easement as long as it's also complying with the necessary setbacks from the first line of vegetation and so forth. And Bethany is still working on the wording of that text amendment that council will review in advance, that is planned to be presented to council at the September meeting. But the gist of it is that there would be some tolerance for building a small deck type structure that would be connected to the walkway itself, and that would not exceed the height of that particular segment of the walkway. So what we're trying to do is avoid there to be anything that would be elevated at a point where it would restrict a neighbor's view, and that it would also be limited to 200 square feet in total. And like I said, it would just really be an opportunity for them to expand on the existing walkway that every oceanfront property has. Carolina Beach is more lenient in that regard. They would allow like a gazebo type structure. Again, we're being more restrictive to ensure that we don't have complaints from adjacent property owners around what that might do to their particular view. Bethany, anything else to add there?
No, that's what we proposed, and council it, which one was the height needed to be up to the height of the access.
Not to exceed.
There was a stipulation in there that said that we could have, the town could have the property owner take it down even if the Army Corps of Engineers did not ask for it. So basically giving us the allowance to tell them that they need to take it down for any reason, like in a storm or something like that.
So
those two things I'm going to add and propose to council.
So I think it's it's a fair compromise. I don't think there would be much objection throughout town in regard to something like this, and it does give us the opportunity of being able to voice to anyone that would potentially want to do more that this actually has been recently thought about, and this is where the town has landed from a standpoint of position. Okay.
Could you remind me of the chapter? That's not a chapter 15.
It's not a chapter 15.
1120.10.
Thank you. Okay.
So, and why council would ask that is that would then require a public hearing where we anything outside of 15 does not. Okay. Any questions on that?
Nope.
Alrighty. So moving to new business. We do have a proposed text amendment that is based on an anticipated build within the business district. Do we have folks here tonight in that regard?
And we requested a text change. We're not aware that there was a 10-foot setback because you are a corner property. Normally it would only be a 5-foot setback, and a 10-foot setback because we are a corner property on that one side is for a pergola. It makes it so that there's nothing that could be built there because it takes you right up to the front. Literally up to the front step. So that was what we were requesting, was a text change. So where we are right now, you want me to go into the details of,
They have all the documents so they can review it, and if they have any questions.
We have had the opportunity to have the documents presented. Bethany, we've reviewed, or at least I have, and I'm sure other members have, reviewed the department head feedback. Can we get your perspective on this?
First of all, I'm handing this over. This is actually Josh's text amendment. I can give you my opinion on this. This is a text amendment coming from the resident.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what the department head said, because it is a corner lot, we have given exceptions to that 5-foot. The 10-foot setback to the 5-foot setback, like other side setbacks are. So we did discuss this, and we thought that was a good way to go for it. It is more of an architectural feature, and it's on the corner lot, so it doesn't have any kind of fire restrictions about it, any visual obstructions or anything like that where we would normally restrict on setbacks.
But this is intended to be a global text amendment change.
This property. It is specific towards corner lots, though, not to all properties. Just the corner lot setback, which is the 10-foot setback on the side of a corner lot.
Corner lots in all zoning districts.
I'll
be honest with you. The predicament that we found ourselves in, the contractor did not. Request a permit, didn't realize that he needed to. It's a less than 12 by 12 foot structure. So I think it's like 10 by 10. It's a pergola. It's not attached to the house. He saw it as a landscape feature and referred North Carolina law, but he didn't realize that, and
in, Ms. Bethany was very, and Josh were very helpful to my husband and I. We didn't realize that there was a zoning permit requirement. So we're kind of in a situation right now where it's built. It's a financial hardship if I have to tear the thing down. But also, Ms. Bethany was sharing with me that there was precedent for exceptions in this situation because it is a corner lot and my property line is not even at the road. So there's already a setback for the city, and then my property line to have a 10-foot setback, like I said, it literally brings it to the steps, and I wouldn't be able to ever build anything.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Because the proposal has the word freestanding in it.
Correct. It's a
freestanding structure. But you said you'd have to tear it down. So, my sense is a freestanding is that it would be just not on a built foundation.
It's not on a built foundation, but because we are at the beach, the posts are in concrete. So there had to be dug down several feet.
But it's not attached to the house, correct?
It's not attached.
So it's freestanding and not attached to the house, but not freestanding in that you couldn't pick it up and move it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And I already have
it like a freestanding deck on the oceanfront where they would detach it from the house so that it would be freestanding from the street. And I already have about a $6,500 investment already paid for.
Okay.
Well, we've got to talk about that because obviously a text amendment affects not just your property and your situation, but the whole town. So we have to consider it within that context.
Is there a way to word it in such a way, because I know I mentioned, I don't know which gentleman mentioned it, when you said all zoning areas, is there a way to refine the text change so that it doesn't adversely affect certain zoning areas, you know what I mean, where there would be a fire impact or something like that, because mine doesn't have that. I don't know.
I don't think that she could legally or morally restrict it to a certain zoning district because there would be no reason to do that. However, when you mention the fire district, I think that's why restricting it to the corner lots is important, because if you were to allow that, if you were to allow encroachment into a side setback where there was another house next to it, then you're looking at fire issues and things like that. So,
and that's not
being on the corner lot. The side that's along the road, there really is no fire issues involved. And that's why, for the first time, I think Chief Kennedy did not have anything against this excellent. Normally, the first one to say no to encroachments and then said that.
I'd like to mention also that we did approve something similar to this with item G for the whole house generators, HVAC units, and things like that. It's the same situation.
Correct.
It's just that this is a pergola rather than one of these items that's listed here. All the same considerations apply. And in reviewing the definition of setback in our code, I believe that all the items listed there for a setback are still met after a pergola will be installed.
Yep. So, Beth, when you say like exceptions, you're referring to what are already documented exceptions, not one-off exceptions, right?
What do you mean when
exceptions that are set forth in
like the items that are already listed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This would just be adding to those items.
Yeah, these are very similar to what's already listed there.
And pergola is very specific, and it's open air. It's
I did a quick Google search, and some of them have sides to it.
This one
should it be limited that we don't have, it doesn't have sides, that it's totally opened? And should there be a size limit to it?
Make it specific to that,
I think that's a good idea.
And this one doesn't have sides, just for your reference. And it's flowing air.
I mean, it's really, to me, not that much different than a fence exception to the setback.
Yeah. Right.
The fences are still...
That's a good way to look at it.
That's where I'm at it, too.
If you just added, like where it says freestanding open air pergola or something like that. And what zone is your house in?
It's 501K, so if you're coming down...
Do you know what zone it is?
I'm right off the top of my head. Do you know what zone it is, Josh? It's
1K,
so it's going to be the biggest.
It's not in the business district?
No, it's not.
It just sits there on the corner of 5th and K.
I think it was.
Okay. I believe it's RA2.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't have that.
RA1 is the district. So it's not on the business district, it's the RA1.
Thank you.
All right, then we need to look at something. Because in 15.10.30, where it talks about the dimensional requirements for zone RA1, item C states, minimum required front yard setback and corner side yard setback shall be 20 feet. Now, I understand that statement I just read disagrees with the other statement that says corner lot side setback shall be 10 feet. Excuse me?
Which section was that, Joe?
15.10.030.
Yeah, because 20 feet would put you right into
my house. No, I understand. I'm just pointing out that we have to do.
We have a district where it has a different setback in it.
Well, this is the only district also that mentions corner. All the other districts don't use the word corner, except for 15.10. And I don't know why this particular zone would be any different than the others, unless it's just a carryover.
Well, we did have one that was for when the Sea Watch subdivision was brought in. It was one of the conditions for them to build that development, that they had a different setback in it. But as far as, I'm not sure how that ended up.
What's the number?
15.10.30. Now it does say, shall apply to all uses in RA1 district unless other requirements are stated herein. So I would have to ask our attorney if that would mean, well, if we have another statement that says 10, could we just use that one?
I don't think
it's
that
easy.
All right. I don't either.
Are you suggesting that we maybe change that to 10 feet? 15.10?
No, I'm not making that suggestion at all because I don't know why it says 20. But I'm just pointing out the discrepancy in the two statements.
Have we enforced the 20? Because that's pretty big.
Yeah, he's verifying that right now.
But I've got my answer thing.
No, but I mean, this is an issue that we've got to kind of resolve. Mm-hmm.
And then here's the other one. It says 10 feet.
Well, it seems to me that we need to make a decision whether it should be special and 20 or 10 with building restrictions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's if we allow it within the exceptions, is this 20-foot setback still an issue?
So zoning application does have a typo. The house is in zone RA2, not RA1.
Okay. So okay. We're in RA2.
So that's okay. My opinion now is that it's okay the way I feel that we could go ahead and approve this amendment And then outside of this amendment, we, as a council, need to deal with the discrepancy that we have.
Yeah.
And, but it may take a little research.
Yeah, but it's a...
I think that's a mistake.
It's a different subject.
It's a different subject now, since it's not in there.
We're talking about a 50-by-100 lot. To take 20 feet off of that side setback would be ridiculous.
Just a minor point, we're not approving. I want to make sure that says that we're reviewing and reporting it to the council.
All right. You follow that?
Not really.
We're making recommendation to council. Council will actually be the one to decide whether they will agree with our recommendation or not.
Okay. Town council will have to hold a legislative hearing, so that will be scheduled in September if they recommend it.
Okay.
So then it wouldn't be heard till October at the earliest.
Well, this
by
this
town council, this is 15.
This isn't 15 for this exception.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be
making item G to 15.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yep.
So
I thought I heard differently.
It will require a legislative hearing.
Yep.
So you won't be heard by council until October. I just want you to know that.
Oh, I misunderstood because I thought it was this body that approved.
They just review and recommend it.
Yeah.
Council.
Right, because this is a text amendment that affects the whole town. So ultimately, the town council has to approve it, and the planning commission makes a recommendation. Now, the town council listens to the planning commission fairly carefully. Because we talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not guaranteed, obviously, but it certainly carries some weight. Yeah.
Because this is in 15, it requires a legislative hearing, and so that's an extra step in the process.
I didn't quite understand the whole 15.
It's a 15 where it has to be then announced to the public what's intended to be changed, and then the public has the opportunity of being able to chime in at the legislative hearing.
And then
council.
Any changes in zoning and things like that are pretty serious. I mean, this sounds pretty minor. But it's, I mean, we have to go through the same process as if we had a major change, yeah.
Okay, but the 15 number means what again? Is that
chapter? It's just chapter 15.
It's chapter 15.
Okay, chapter 15, got it.
Chapter 15 is the zoning regulation. By statute and by code, any amendment to a zoning regulation requires two things. Planning, zoning commission, review and report. Council holding legislative hearing and acting on this month at town council, they'll schedule that hearing for October, and in October they'll hear you and anybody else in the public that wants to comment, and then they'll act on your application.
Okay, so we would need to come back in October. Is that mid-month, first of the month?
It's the third Monday of the month, so October, give me 1 second, October the 20th.
Are we recommending it as written, or are we going to put it over
there? We haven't gotten there yet. Okay. We're just, we're talking about procedural, how things are going to go. But you haven't heard the recommendation from planning and zoning yet.
No, but it helps to hear the process. Thank you.
Yeah. So I think now we probably have heard what we needed to hear. Any other questions or further information anybody would want to have access to? So do I entertain a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion that we recommend this amendment to council with the added wording for a freestanding open air pergola.
You might want to be careful with that freestanding language. Noting the confusion.
Yeah, because I got confused on what that meant.
Doesn't freestanding in construction terms means it's just not attached to the house?
That's my understanding.
That's my understanding also.
I mean, we don't have to word it freestanding. We can word it not detached from the...
Unattached.
Or detached.
Detached from the primary structure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that I'd prefer that, actually, rather than freestanding.
Detached from the primary structure.
Detached, open air,
pergola. Detached from the primary structure, open air, pergola.
Now, do I need to make that change, or is that
something... No, we'll make it.
Okay, so based on that discussion, do I have a motion?
Okay, so I make a motion that we recommend approval of this with the change of wording to a
detached
open air pergola.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay,
detached
so I'll,
from what?
Detached from the main structure.
Or primary.
I would recommend
recommend that the applicant, because this is the applicant's text amendment, they draft up the ordinance and bring it back to council.
Council
I'm not
has.
Sure who's drafting it then.
Now, wouldn't that, do you recommend they go directly to council with the change?
Correct.
But
so
then we wouldn't be making a recommendation.
We don't normally change the applicant's text amendments. Because it's their text amendment application. Not me and Z's.
But then it would go to council without
a recommendation
planning and zoning?
It will be your recommendation to approve it. Byron will stand up there and recommend that it be approved.
If I'm comfortable with the modified
wording,
language?
But we don't even know what the wording is. Who's drafting the new wording is what I'm trying to...
Yeah, council, any thoughts on this?
Well, we're going to adopt a consistency statement, and I was just looking it over to find the appropriate place to insert the text that you all, for example, why don't we entertain a motion to report favorably on the text amendment with the
addition
with the additional comments set forth in the consistency statement, and when we get to the consistency statement we'll figure out that language.
So are we amending the text application? I just want to know for council's agenda, are we going to have the original wording on there, because I feel like that's going to be confusing and I have to include the original text amendment application.
I think we ought to do two things. I think we'll cover their concern in the text in the consistency statement, because that's the report. They can bring a revised text in and reference the Planning and Zoning Commission's comments. That's what I think.
Why don't we just do a subject to? I mean, we've done that type of thing, but where we approve this subject to.
You're not approving.
Not approving, but make a recommendation for this particular thing with the language subject to the change that we've recommended.
Well, I think we can, you can do that in a motion to, in your recommendation motion, or you can set it forth in the consistency statement. I don't care.
I mean.
But would we make
I think it'd be cleaner if we do it subject to and then with the proper language that we all agree to. And then that'll eliminate any confusion when it goes to council, because they can bring this. And the council doesn't have to abide by the exact wording. They can change it, can't they?
They can. I'm just saying that town council is going to see the text amendment application that is included in your agenda packet. Do you want it then to include the one that was presented tonight? Because I have to include a text amendment application. Or do you want them to amend it and bring that one forward?
Amend it.
No, it should be amended, but I think we should say what the amendment should say.
And then
that's
council.
Correct, but what? It needs to be amended by the applicant. Yes.
But council, would you then, like, as far as the consistency statement, is that what we would modify tonight?
I think Greg brings up a good point. You can do it in the consistency statement, or you could do it in your motion to report favorably on this text amendment.
Subject to.
Mm-hmm. So council Planning and Zoning Commission hereby recommends to council to adopt the proposed text amendment with the additional condition of subjecting that exception to your whatever word you would want to use. Mm-hmm.
And then you would just make changes to the consistency statement based on that motion?
By motion, I don't need to change the consistency statement.
That's why I think it would be good to do that.
But the consistency statement doesn't state the things that we're going to change.
I think we're making this into more than it should be. Let's just have a motion along the lines that Greg is suggesting, and I'll revise the consistency statement to reflect that.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was getting at. Okay.
And all that will go to council.
Perfect.
Barbara, she had a question.
I did. So if I understood correctly, you're going to do a recommendation in favor of subject to the wording changes. Would you like me to fill out a new form tonight? And because I want to make sure I get the wording exactly the way you want it. Because because I don't want to leave here and then I bring something and submit it to council a couple of days from now to go up in front of the town council, and I got the words wrong.
Yeah, and I know this has been confusing, but if I may just take a stab at what I think we've agreed to is not to make those changes. We will make the changes based on our motion, and then council will make the modifications to the consistency statement. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
No, that's not what
you have a question?
I did. That's not what I heard, but okay. Yes, sir.
Let's agree on the language, and then we'll figure out where to put it. Commission recommends to council the adoption of the proposed text amendment, provided that the gazebos are detached from the primary residence and
open air.
And open air.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be.
We have that motion.
Well, I'll make a motion as you ordered it.
Okay.
For a second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now, just for my clarification, because I'm not sure. Are we adjusting the text amendment, or are they adjusting?
We're going to take care of everything via the motion you're making and via the consistency statement. Okay. She doesn't need to do anything.
That's what I thought I heard.
Yeah. So they don't have to do anything either, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the council will listen to, hopefully, I mean, they don't have to, but they'll listen to our recommendation, and they will then add that language.
They'll have the minutes and they'll have the consistency.
Yeah, they'll have a consistency statement that will already reflect the motion.
So we're going to put that, is the motion going to be in the consistency statement then?
Okay. We have a motion on the table. Have we voted on that motion?
We voted.
We did, okay. And let's look at your consistency statement. You should have a pro and a con.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me when you got the...
We got it.
Yes.
You got the pro in front of you. Go to the second paragraph. And we'll start with the findings first, since that's important. The commission finds that eliminating encroachments and structures within setback areas mitigates against adverse environmental impacts by preserving open spaces, yada, yada, yada. The commission further finds that the proposed text amendment will not result in adverse environmental impacts or be detrimental to public health, safety, and welfare. I suggest that after welfare, before the period, we put provided that the gazebos are, do you want detached or not
attached?
Detached from primary structure.
Jim, it's a pergola.
Yeah,
why did I say?
Mm-hmm. And then, council, all that wording is in the first paragraph.
Except it doesn't have open air. It does have freestanding.
Let's go ahead and add what we're doing right now. I just think it doesn't hurt. It's a little redundant, but it's helpful. Provided that the pergolas are detached from the primary
structure and are open air.
Period. And then the consistency statement goes on to quote that part of the comprehensive land plan that those findings are consistent with. So a couple of questions, Joel. Would you agree with my recommendation to plug that language into the end of the second paragraph?
Or you said third. Oh, no, you said the welfare. Mm-hmm. Why don't we put it at the very bottom, at the very end, the end of the fourth? Based on these findings and conclusions, the commission recommends the town council.
Better. I think it fits better at the second paragraph.
Yeah, okay.
But defining in the first paragraph, it says including freestanding pergolas.
Why don't we just change that to freestanding open-air pergolas? And that would
because
solve
that's
everything.
Not what the applicant proposed.
Okay.
This whole discussion concerns the fact that the applicant did not include open air.
Okay. So
then we had to clarify detachment and attachment. So instead of throwing it back to the applicant and let's just get it ready for council to act on in a simple fashion by plugging in the language.
Gotcha. Yeah, so the second paragraph describes our action.
Can I ask a very trivial thing, which is actually what the applicant suggested? Is there any reason why she can't just write up what we're adding and submit it tonight?
How is my recommendation?
You all figure out what you want to do.
I mean, would that break any rules? Is that?
In the past, we've always had the applicant amend their application and bring it back to council.
But can we do it right now? Can she, like, submit a revised?
Well, not tonight.
Not tonight. Okay, that was what I was going to ask. Okay.
Oh, just curious. Why not? Because you already submitted your text application that they're reviewing tonight.
Yeah, it's already been on part of the agenda.
They can't have anything new on the agenda. It's just state laws.
You know, I think what we're doing will take care of it. I mean, it's a trivial thing, but, you know, I think we just want to make it absolutely clear to council that we want that wording in there. That's all.
So,
help her amend the application.
Yeah, for council then? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So you'll come in with an amended application, and council will see that your new language has what we're concerned about in it. And that should be fine, I assume. Yeah.
But you all are doing it, and then I'm doing it, right? That's what I understood, is that you're making changes you're making changes of how you want it worded, and then I'm going to take that and I'm going to update the application.
For the council, yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Well,
that's my understanding.
We're not making any changes then, right? I think we've got a lot of different perspectives here, and, you know, apologize, you know, that you're hearing this, but that's just the way it is. But no, I think if we're doing what Beth has asked, you are independently changing it based on what you've heard us talk about tonight.
Then
resubmitting it.
No. You guys need to clearly state what you want the applicant to write. The applicant goes away, redrafts her text amendment, because it is their text amendment that they are applying for, and then they bring that back to town council.
Yeah.
It should be based on what you instructed them to do.
Yeah, and you've heard our motion, and, you know, we can make sure that you have that in writing.
Detached freestanding.
Yeah, I mean, just look at your proposed text change. For corner lots with 10-foot setback, 10-foot setback, 5-foot setback. But does that make sense? Is that the way it should be? 10-foot and then 5-foot?
I'm curious what that 10 and 5 is.
Yeah, I think we're missing a word there.
Because based off the way the code was written, that most of the houses in that zone only require a 5-foot setback from the property line. But because I have a corner house, mine requires a 10-foot setback on that side,
mm-hmm.
or a 10-foot setback, I guess, on both of the corner sides that face the street. And that's why it says 10-foot versus 5-foot. Because where the pergola hits right now, if I had the exception, it's fine and it's within code.
Is it okay for you to, do you lose anything by deleting 5-foot setback in your proposed text change? You just have to read with 10-foot setbacks is authorized for freestanding pergola.
I think the purpose of that is that we need it to meet the 5-foot setback. That's why we put it in there. It should be worded similar to the generator.
To item F.
Yeah, I was looking at that, but that's kind of not worded exactly the same way either. So.
Meaning that it needs to meet a 5-foot.
Okay, so the idea here is that we're looking at corner lots with 10-foot setback and saying that the pergola still has to have a 5-foot setback.
Yes.
Okay.
Just like a generator would have a 5-foot
setback. Then why don't we just put, rather than the colon right there, it looks like a colon, for corner lots with 10-foot setback, a 5-foot setback is authorized for...
Not freestanding, but detached.
Detached from primary structure and open air pergolas.
And you need a pen?
Yeah. Just out of the.
I mean, it's just, we're just trying to clean it up so you get the right language.
Why don't we table this till until next month and have the applicant and Ms. White come up with the correct land.
I mean, it's already built, so it's not going to make any difference.
Would there...
I know, I just can't finish it, I can't paint it, and I can't rent.
Okay.
Would there be another tact here just to modify F?
If you just tell me what language is, I'll get it into her tomorrow.
I mean, would that not be what she should really be submitting, is a modification to item F that would just include this pergola?
No, you're talking about the whole house generator?
Yeah.
That's, those are the exceptions.
We're listing them separately.
This is just an added exception to that.
No, because that's got a height restriction in there also, no taller than 6 feet.
Yeah, that's a different language.
That's a different issue.
Okay.
I mean, I mean, what I would recommend, if it's allowable, is that you submit, when you go to the council, the language that would say, for corner lots with a 10-foot setback, comma, a 5-foot setback is authorized for detached from freestanding, or from detached from primary structure, a open-air pergola. A detached from primary structure, open air pergola.
Okay. From primary structure, open air pergola is authorized?
No, you already have authorized in it.
Okay. It's authorized. I'm going to read it back one more time. For corner lots with a 10-foot setback, comma, a 5-foot setback is authorized for a detached from primary structure open air pergola.
Is that okay?
Are we there?
Fine with me.
Okay.
Yep.
And then y'all already did the motion to...
We already did the motion to recognize that change.
Okay. All right.
Let's go ahead and adopt the consistency statement as amended. Now we get the new one to the chairman to sign.
Per the motion?
Yeah, we have to have a motion for the consistency statement.
Per the changes that...
Per the changes. Yeah. Okay.
I kind of disagree with the way where we should put this language. I would put it at the end. It
says,
based on these findings and conclusions, the commission recommends the town council approve the applicant for the proposed amendment to KBC 15.36.010 with the language. Let me go back. Can you read the language?
For corner lots with a 10-foot setback, comma, a 5-foot setback is authorized for a detached from primary structure open air pergola.
That would be my motion.
All right, we have a consistency statement that states a favorable review and cites the comprehensive land use plan that you all find is consistent with the application. My understanding is we're going rather, and I'd like for you, so you'll be voting on that consistency statement with the suggested changes that you all have agreed that there's a consensus to include. My understanding that we're going to include that language at the end of the last paragraph. Is that correct?
That's the motion.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Okay. So do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Well, I know that was painful.
Yep.
Sir, I worked for government for 25 years, so that was painful.
A lot of pain over five words, but
it's all good. I appreciate it. I just wanted to be clear and hit Joshua will have it before I leave this evening. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so to continue the fun, we're going to have Joe take us through the chapter 12, which is a very long chapter, but I think you're targeting certain
areas.
It's all cleanup, basically, isn't it?
Basically, these are the syntactical changes to chapter 12. It's a 43-page chapter, and unfortunately, the only page markers you've got in the handout that you've got is on the top of the page, like 1 of 43. Mm-hmm. So those are the numbers I'll be using.
Okay.
There's no numbers on the page themselves. So of the 43 pages, I've only got 21 items to discuss, and some of them will be short discussions. So the first item is on page 4. So if you go to 4 of 43,
Joe,
what I did?
I don't have page numbers, so if you could do section numbers.
You don't have it on the top in the black area of your page?
The top?
Like the top of the document?
He's looking on a printed document. It's not there.
Oh, okay.
this would be...
Wow. Yeah, I know.
Okay, where do you get to it? 12.02.020, which is definitions.
Okay.
And then where that starts, it's two pages later.
Yes, I've got that.
Starts in development regulations. All right, so the main change here is in the blue Mountain Ridge Protection Regulation. I deleted that item because I don't think we need to worry about that in Kerry Beach. We're not really looking at mountain ridges. The only other change to that is that I broke it down. I rewrote the entire paragraph so that it's further split out into A, B, C, D, E, F, G right below it, rather than one big long run-on paragraph with all those items.
What about everything on the page before under D?
Not everything on the page before under
D. Under D. There's a lot of delete.
Wait a minute.
He just listed it rather than...
Rewrite.
Right, that's the same thing I did with development approval. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right, but I didn't even bother discussing that because there was no addition or deletion. It was just a reformatting. And over here with development regulation, I do have the deletion of the Mountain Ridge Protection Regulation.
Okay.
That's why I chose to discuss that.
Okay.
Too much discussion.
All right,
5, 6, 7, 8, keep going. On page 9. All right, Jim, I'm going to have to tell you where we are.
12.02.70.
Right, 12.02.70B5.
12.02.70B5.
And this is just an edit for whoever does the typing. Whether it be Beth, if she's here, or Mandy. But when you look on the website, there's a line break right in the middle of that, not preclude vested under. So when you look at it on the computer as it is now, there's a line break, and it doesn't need to be there. So I'll make that clear to you later, but there's no technical change. It's just cleaning up the website. All right, the next thing is a little further down, item H, which is on page 11 for those of us that have page numbers. Item H.
Are we still on 1202070?
Yes.
Yes.
Can we go back to G for a second?
G, okay.
Process the claim vested right.
Yes.
Several things. Bring your attention to four lines up from the bottom where it says de novo, and Joe has suggested a parenthetical from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
There are several points, and y'all can do what you want. It doesn't matter to me one way or another, but I would like to make a few things clear. There are several instances in this chapter 12, in this amended chapter 12, De Novo is one, Ultra Beers is one.
They're all Latin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all Latin. There's a couple more, and I've got to raise it down. Number one, those are, in the legal industry, those are called terms of art, and whether you're pleading or arguing or briefing the court or even writing articles about it, those parentheticals, in 39 years of practice, I've never seen the parenthetical, an explanatory parenthetical. Mm-hmm. But I certainly have seen, and I certainly use a lot, these Latin terms of art. Inter alia, which means among other things, our favorite, Ray Ipsen Locter, let the thing speak for itself. My suggestion, and I applaud Joe's efforts to make it user-friendly for a layperson reader, but sometimes it ends up being even more confusing because if I didn't know what de novo meant, I certainly don't know from the beginning what that meant as well. My suggestion, is, and we'll get to it, is we drop the parentheticals and just continue with the last term of art, since that's customary here.
I'm okay either way, but I thought part of the task at the beginning of this project was to clear up it, to make it user-friendly, but I'm okay. I'll take it out. I don't care.
Well, it's up to you all. I'm just pointing it out.
I'll leave it up to
you. I'm fine with what he says.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you have terms of art, sometimes they're fairly comprehensive, even though this is a direct translation from Latin to English. Generally, when you have art, you know, I mean, terms of art or terms of the profession, it encompasses a much broader category. Is that the situation with these?
That's a good point, and particularly when you get to Ultra Beers, there's actually a case law that treats that doctrine, which wouldn't be reflected in the explanatory parenthetical.
Yeah. Okay.
And one more thing about Ultra Beers, that shows up on the provision in Chapter 12 that informs private litigants of the ability to sue the city. I'm not sure how the friendly we want to do about that.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree that we probably should leave it just in Latin then.
Yeah.
Okay, so wherever I have in this chapter, I will go back and remove all of those.
Thank you, I appreciate
parenthetics.
And I've got a list as well.
Okay.
As we walk through the text.
Well, all right. So item H is deleted in its entirety because it's already stated in section 1202.020, which is the definitions. So there's no need to restate these definitions here and say that they apply because they already apply.
Okay.
I got rid of that. And then just, you know, when item H goes away, the next item I becomes H for the typists, editors, whatever you guys want. All right, let's go forward to page 17, which is 1202.100.F.
Before we get to F, can we go to D?
D, yep. There you go. That's one goes away.
Your explanatory.
Got it.
Ex parte.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, so going to F. There's also one change in here I need to add that I missed. On the second line, where it says a close familiar relationship means, our standard is shall mean. So I'm going to change that to shall mean when I give it back. Now this is a little discussion I have here, because when you look it up on Google, what familiar relationship is, it includes a spouse or domestic partner. So we don't list domestic partner here. We have spouse, parent, child, brother, sister, grandparent, or grandchild. The term includes step, half, and in-law relationships. So I looked it up, and it says, in many legal and formal contexts, a spouse or domestic partner is included as a family member, particularly in the context of benefits, legal rights, and workspace policies. So it's a discussion item. Do we want to add partner
domestic
here?
Partner.
Legal doesn't have an opinion one way or another on that.
Yeah, I just don't. But partner's not a defined term to, I mean, that can be taken.
Well, domestic partner.
My opinion here is that domestic partner doesn't have any legal structure. I mean, they're not married. I mean, we don't have common law marriage here. So domestic partner is two people living together. I'm not sure if that is familial. I certainly understand domestic partnerships can act that way, but they're not.
The law says that if you don't define a term, you can rely on its common meaning. Look it up in the dictionary, and that can be good. Webster's dictionary definition of partner includes a person with whom one shares an intimate relationship, one member of a couple. So you could probably get away with partner, and if that ever became a challenge to a court to interpret, they could fall back on the.
But I wouldn't put that into a familial relationship. I mean, having an intimate relationship doesn't make it familial.
Where is?
It's under F. We're just defining familial relationship.
Yeah, this is all conflict of interest stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could take out familial.
And just say relationship? No. Mm-hmm. Because this deals with conflict of interest. We certainly talk a lot about conflict of interest in quasi-judicial type of things. Would somebody living with somebody as a domestic partner constitute a conflict of interest in those situations?
It depends. It depends on what that person does.
I mean, you could certainly argue that it should based on any of these other relationships.
This is a conflict of interest. Because that's really what we're trying to get at, is conflict of interest issues.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a benefits thing
or
anything.
It's not
like
a benefits.
That.
It's conflict of interest. Which in that case, if it's conflict of interest, then domestic partner does make sense.
Yeah, to play. I think so too.
And it does say for purposes of this section, a close familiar relationship is. Mm-hmm. Which takes you back to subparagraph A, which is talking about conflict of interest.
Yeah, so I would be good in including our domestic partner.
Partner. So the term includes the step. I mean, it wouldn't make sense there. It'd be because you don't have a step domestic partner.
No, it wouldn't.
But you could put it after the in-law relationships and say, comma, and includes domestic partners.
Mm-hmm. All right, grandparent, grandchild, or domestic partner.
Well, no, I'd put it the term includes step, half, and in-law relationships, comma, and domestic partnerships.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll make that change, get rid of all the blue, and it'll be included when it comes back out. Page 18, I'm losing track of the pages. Hold on, let me scroll. Page 18, 120410B5.
B4, sorry. Yeah, what do your question marks indicate?
It says, faithful attendance shall be defined as no more than three excused absences in a rolling 12-month period.
Mm-hmm. We discussed that and added that probably five or six years ago.
Yeah. I thought if it was an excused absence, it didn't count towards the three.
No, what we were concerned about, because we tend to do a lot of excuses, I mean, we always excuse. Mm-hmm. So we had actually had this debate and talked about this and decided that three excused absence is not faithful attendance. And because I remember we did have this debate, because no one's going to get three unexcused absences. I mean, we always excuse people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think this is fine. Three.
Okay.
You know, three.
No change.
I remember when we made this change, we had a member that didn't
Yeah, and we were always excusing them, remember? Yeah.
They
yeah.
lived out of town.
The big thing was they didn't communicate that they weren't coming either. There would just be no shows, right. And we never did one.
They stayed in another state.
Versus someone saying, I'm sick or I'm on vacation.
Right.
And then you excuse them. But we don't excuse people that we don't get noticed.
I also remember one who did, send us a message 1 hour before it, and then we would constantly excuse.
You guys did not excuse them at some point. Yeah. I do remember that.
I would suggest we keep this the same.
So if someone has a valid reason for not being here, right? And I don't want to give examples of valid reasons.
No, I mean.
For three times in a 12-month period.
In a 12-month period, that's not faithful.
No more than. So
right, four times.
So if they're four times. And
excused four
that's
times.
Almost, okay. That's almost half because we generally don't meet in December. And mm-hmm. So, we could make it four if you're worried about it, if you plan on taking a lot of time off.
No, I know. All right, I just... Yeah.
If someone has a legitimate issue, I guess is what you're concerned
about. Yes.
But I do think having people here is important as well. Yeah.
And this doesn't say you're kicked off. It just defines faithful. I mean,
the B is removal.
You all don't do the removal. Council would do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So I won't change it. All right. The item under that, C2, I believe it's on page 19, right? It says that we are to follow the rules of procedure for the Planning and Zoning Commission and the North Carolina Open Meeting Law. Jim, I guess we rely on you to do this because I've never been introduced to either of those documents.
Well, there are existing rules of procedure and the Open Meeting Law is... GS 143-318.9.
Okay. Okay. So that was just a question of mine. Mm-hmm. All right, keep going down. Item 4. Oh, no, that's nothing. Sorry.
I had one. Let me double check something. Subsection K. The same section that we're in, recommendations relative to public facilities. Did you have one before that?
Did you say what?
K.
K, yeah.
Yeah, that's 21.
A lot of question marks there.
Yeah. Well, I have a question on item D, back on page 19. I think it's on 19.
Yes.
Item D, where it says the expenditures of planning and zoning shall be within the amounts appropriated for the purpose by the town council. Is that in the town's annual budget, or is this something special that's done by the town council?
It used to be. I do know for many, many years we would be allocated some money, and that kind of disappeared, didn't it?
You still have a budget.
We still have a budget.
Okay. Bethany's budget. It pays for court reporters.
Right.
Mandy, do you have any other things that it pays for? I just know the court reporters.
Maybe some notices that might be where I post it to, but
the newspaper ads.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's always over budget.
But you're right, it's done in the annual budget process. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to make that change. Okay. Then I am on item K. Is that where you were, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Those are just two questions of mine. The first one, it says that Planning and Zoning shall review and make recommendations to Town Council on the extent, location, and design of all public structures and facilities. But we just built a public works building. I don't think we did that.
That lot was bought years and years and years ago for that purpose. Many years ago.
Okay. That's
Am I right then?
Yeah, correct.
Yes, we've had that.
Lot.
Before
they purchased the lot, I was not here at that time, so I'm not sure if planning
and
zoning reviewed it or not.
Well, we certainly didn't make any recommendations on design or any of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's something we just need to be aware of in the future.
Well, you know what you might want to do, because procurement can catch up with you and take it right out of your hand. Why don't you consider changing shall to may?
Okay.
Okay.
That way, if it's something the council feels and wants your input in, the provision allows for that. But it also, by avoiding shall, gets us out of situations like we're discussing right now. Because we did RFQs and RFPs and pre-qualified and monster solicitations, and Planning and Zoning Commission voice and all that would have been but a squeak.
just reading the words.
Okay, so, yeah, the recommendation is change it to may.
Shall becomes a may.
Okay.
And then the next sentence, the acquisition and disposal of public properties. What is that? Is that the list, Mandy, that
no.
excess material?
No, that's not excess material.
I would read that as capital expenditures, or more particularly real property transactions.
Okay.
We've got a surplus property provision in the code, I think.
We do. This isn't that.
Right.
Okay, that's not it.
This
that's
is real property.
Okay. I'm fine with that. It's just a question once again.
Actually, as I'm reading this, what are building lines and street lines? What does the word line in there mean?
Building lines.
I think you can interpret that literally. For example, annexation. Boundary for an annexation area has to follow the street, so that would be the street line.
To change existing property street lines. I have no idea what street lines would mean. Is this one of these that go back to 1954? I actually remember that we talked about this when there was a public building. I forget which one it was, because this popped up. And we wondered why we weren't reviewing the design of some public buildings. It might have actually been in the building of this structure that might have been involved.
Yeah, all the public buildings have been built recently.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a design of this, and somebody raised the issue, you know, based upon this right here, why isn't the Planning Commission, you know, reviewing this stuff? And, of course, we never did. So I really wonder why do we even need this paragraph? It really kind of seems out of the purview of what the Planning Commission does, you know, unless it's maybe in the business or the, but that's not really a Planning Commission, then that would be a historic preservation review if it's in the district there. I mean, I'll just make a motion to take K out. I don't see any purpose for it, because we've never done it.
We don't do it.
This is really just get.
If there's no objection to that, I'll take it out.
Yeah, it's just consensus, right?
Yeah, we're just doing consensus right now because we're not voting
right.
on anything.
We're not
yet.
Voting on anything.
So
this isn't even a text amendment. It'll come.
If somebody really wants
this,
to review existing street lines.
Well, what if you put in a new street? Like a couple years ago, didn't they put condos down near Fort Fisher and have to add a street?
Yeah, we did review street, but that was part of a community development. We had a community development that had a street that we had to review.
Okay.
But that's kind of a special case, I think, covered under a different part of this.
Where the general store was.
Yeah. Yeah, Trading Post or whatever it was called.
And also when we did that special use permit, or that one that's down, I forgot the name of it right now. So actually where the general store was, you're right.
But I think exactly even the other townhouses that a mile north.
Yeah, that's one of them.
That was where they put, there's a new street that went in there.
Right.
Laurel.
I mean, I would assume that we would review streets when somebody would come with, I think it was a planned community, mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. It was a planned community review, and that we had to review the streets related to the planned community.
Well, okay.
But that's different than what this is saying.
I have another question. Down near Fort Fisher, there's a street down there that's mostly a dirt road.
Mm-hmm. It's the only unpaved street in town.
Yeah, and they've been wanting the town to take it over. And I know that it's just too bad at repairing. The drainage is bad and needs a lot of work. And you know, but if they ever made a formal recommendation to the town to take that over, would that just go to the council or should that come to us first?
We've actually already brought that forward to the town council.
Yeah, so they've already done that. So I mean,
what would we do?
Accepting a private street is covered by the doctrine of dedication and acceptance, where a proposed dedication deed of the private street comes to town council. Town council may have to hold a hearing, I forget, but town council basically decides whether to accept it or not by a resolution. And that's the sum total of taking a private street. Doesn't involve your all or review at all.
Isn't that on the people on that street, aren't they in an HOA?
I don't recall that.
Because I seem to have a memory of one of the times they were trying to get it paved and they couldn't get the required number of residents.
Seems to me like something called Ocean View came in to recently request something and we did advise them of the dedication and acceptance procedure. There is no follow-up.
All right, well, pulling it back, so again, the recommendation had been to eliminate K?
Yeah, I just think it's out of our purview.
We have consensus.
You guys have been on here a long time. Mm-hmm. If that's your recommendation, then it's never been...
It's never been enforced.
Been done with it, then,
yeah.
Then I'm fine with taking it out.
Okay. All right, everyone agree?
Okay, I'll remove it in the text amendment for next month. Okay, the next page is page... we're getting into Historic Preservation Commission stuff now, so there's some duplication of comments. Like on page 24, we talk about the three excused absences. Again, we're going to leave it at that. On page 24, we have... I'll give you a paragraph. 120430C2. I just want to know, Jim, is it correct to have Board of Adjustments in that, or is that procedures for the Historic Preservation Commission?
I think, let me go back a little bit. Yeah, Board of Adjustment needs to come out in that paragraph.
Okay, and make it Historic Preservation Commission. All right. Just another comment. After that, D4 for historic preservation says we conduct educational programs on the significance of historic properties and districts within the town. I guess our chairman does that, right, Craig?
All the time.
Yeah.
Just pointing it out. It's in there, so we should.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good idea. We haven't really done anything like that, but you and I have talked about it. We've kind of always let it flop. You know, never done it, but no, I think it's good to have it in there.
I don't want to take it out. I just want to point it that it is in there. Okay, page 20.
You're pointing fingers at, aren't you?
Page 28, item 120630A.
Wait, say that again? I'm sorry.
Page 28, 1206030A. We take out the value of $250 and state as specified in the town fee schedule.
Yep.
And I did verify it is in the town fee schedule.
Good.
That's all I have to say. Then again, on page 29, item 1206030B, for the $750, I did verify that it is in the town fee schedule. So we're good for that also. All right. Page 33, item 120650H, as in hotel. it says in the middle line, the hearing shall be based on the record below.
And there's nothing below.
And there is. Should I change that to the record provided?
The record below is another term of art. If you go to Superior Court after a bad BOA decision, the record below is the everything that happened at the BOA level.
Wow. Okay.
Should, well, I mean, we haven't done it anyplace else, but a lot of times Latin and things like that are put in italics, and we haven't done that here.
I don't mean it's a Latin term of art, but the record below, any legal discussion on appeals would include the language on the record below.
Okay, so we want to leave it the way it is.
Leave it the way it is. All right, okay. 7, 38, 39, we're rolling. 40. All right. Page 42, 12, 10, 40, D.
Would that be 41?
Let's go to
43.
I think that's.
Oh, that's one of those Latin terms that you're going to take care of the.
Yes, but.
This one's flip flop.
But when you look at what certiorari is, it says it's a writ or order of.
No, Joe, I'm looking at A2 in this section. I haven't got to D.
Oh, yeah, A2, I'm going to undo, but it's.
You've got to take care of the parentheticals, too.
Yes, I'll fix it.
All right, where are you on D?
D.
You want me to petition for.
I mean, is it proper to have the word writ of?
Writ of, right, because.
Absolutely, it's proper. You petition the court to enter an order. That order is a writ of certiorari.
But certiorari is a writ or order. It's by definition, that's what it is, I thought, when I looked it up.
I've done a couple of writs of certiorari.
Okay, I'll keep it. You're the legal. On page 42, a little further down, item G, where it says definitions, the definition set forth in KBC 110270H, there is no such section. And I tried to look back in previous code to see what it might have been, and I found nothing, so I'm just taking that out. G definitions.
All right. What
sends you to 1102070H, which does not exist.
Hang on just a minute.
Leave that for the board in 10 years.
Section 11 ends with 110240.
Yeah, you can take that out.
Okay, it's gone. Those are the discussion comments. I will take the items. I was taking notes here. Everything we said, I will incorporate in. And then at our next monthly PZC, present this in text amendment form.
You did a good job on it.
Yeah, that was good.
Great job.
I mean, it's amazing how you can clean up stuff like this.
Two more to go, 13 and 14.
Yeah, home stretch.
I can't wait.
You drink a lot.
Don't put that in the minutes.
All right. Well, that concludes the agenda for this evening. Anybody have anything else?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thanks, everybody. That was good work.